Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough. I'm joined in the Racing Post studio by Nick Watts. We've also got Tom Siegel and Tom Nugent, who had a particularly profitable weekend at the Curra, I hear. Guys, how was the weekend first off at Wattsy?
Yeah, it was good. It's nice weather. It was nice and quiet. Didn't do too much. Walked the dog. And that was about it. Watched a bit of sport. There was loads on at the weekend, wasn't there? There was cricket, racing, football, God knows what. Gosh. Yeah, so it was good. Bit of a couch potato.
We'll hear all about the cricket from Tom Siegel, unfortunately. But I was on the Curra Live blog all weekend, so keeping the ear to the grind with the Curra. Tom, you were at the Curra as well?
Yeah, I was down there both days. First time down to the Curra this season, and the redevelopment is coming along very, very nicely. Last year, it was kind of a bit more demolition stage. We arrived down for Guineas weekend, and it was just kind of a series of tents, and nobody could really see what was going to take shape. But it's very, very impressive what's there at the moment. The parade ring is finished, and a few buildings around it, and the skeleton of the new grandstand is up, and it's going to be absolutely top class when it's finished. Really enjoyable weekend, good weather, great results, and enjoyable weekend all round.
Oh, lovely stuff. Tom, go on then, what can you tell us about the cricket? We're all dying to know.
Nothing much. I went to see my son and I go down to the Rose Bowl in Hampshire quite a lot, so we went to see the one day game yesterday, and Hampshire managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in their typical Hampshire style, but it was good fun. We had a nice day in the weather, didn't watch any racing. I've watched it all this morning. Nothing much to report. I went, Tom, help us out with this Curra. When are they going to sort out the TV camera angle? That is the worst thing I've ever...
So, where the camera is, I haven't actually spoken to anybody else about this, but where the camera is, it's a makeshift, kind of nearly like a prefab tower that's just really, really close to the track. So you don't get the kind of better angle until literally they just cross the line. So you don't
Correct.
Really know
what's
who's
going on
in front. So I'm hoping that when it won't be this season anyway, basically, is all I can tell you. It'll be next year.
Do you think they could move it like 200 yards to the right, the prefab thing, so we
can actually see what's going on? Where the prefab is, just behind it, is all boarded up because that's where the construction site is for the actual grandstand.
Got
so it can't move any further back. But I agree with you, it's really annoying, but sadly we'll just have to sit and put up with it for the rest of the season.
We'll just have to put up with it. It's good that you know exactly what's going on though, Tom. We can quiz you on the whereabouts of everything at the Curra. Moving on though, easy one to start with, folks. Who wins the derby on Saturday and who's our best outsider? We've got to be really excited for that. Tom, just reel off the betting for us, please.
I will indeed. If I had my finger on the buzzer, I'd be ready. Yes, Saxon Warrior, 8-11 favourite. Roaring Lion next in 6-1. Delano Roosevelt, 12-1 alongside Young Rascal. And Hazapur, Night to Behold, 14s alongside Massar and at 16-1 bar.
Right, first off, am I right in thinking there's been some moves for this Delano Roosevelt? What's the one that they've been backing in the week?
A small few quid for Delano Roosevelt, 20-1, 16-1, into 12-1 now. And the other one that was just actually cut this morning that I was going to put up as my each-way squeak, his form was franked. Hazapur for Dermot Weld won that derby trial there. And Platinum Warrior was fourth behind him in that race, I think. And he came out and won quite well at the Curra over the weekend. And his trainer, Michael Halford, outlined the Irish Derby is his next target for Platinum Warrior. But Hazapur was the one I was going to put up each way. But I can't really see too far past Saxon Warrior.
Okay, nice and straightforward. What's the Saxon Warrior for you as well?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. What's more interesting is the outsider that's going to finish in the frame, because there's always normally one. And quite often, if you go back through the years, it's one of Aidan O'Brien's less heralded runners that that comes to the fore and runs above themselves. I remember, I think it was a 100-1 shot that finished second behind Workforce a few years ago.
First
and of course,
sight, yeah.
Yeah, and one of them actually hit the jackpot last year, of course, Wings of Eagles. So
qualifying the Oaks as well.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not a bad strategy to look at Aidan O'Brien's so-called third and fourth strings, because with most other trainers, they'd be a worthy first string. So they're all capable. I thought Kew Gardens might be slightly overpriced. He came from the same race. He won the same race that Wings of Eagles came from as a two-year-old, the Zetland Stakes at Newmarket. Yeah, I mean, slightly disappointing two runs this season, but I mean, it was a mile and one, I think, on his return at Newmarket. Never going to be far enough for him. Wasn't completely wound up. I don't think he ran that badly in the Lingfield trial last time behind Knight to Behold. I think he'll be allowed to run kind of as a contender kind of thing. And what I mean by that is he's not going to be sacrificed as a pacemaker or anything like that. I'm interested to see they've got Nelson still in the race, because I think he could very well possibly fulfil that role, because he always goes forward in his races. So if they want to truly run race for Saxon Warrior and the rest of their crew, I think Nelson will be the one that's sent up the road to keep everyone honest. And therefore, all of his other runners come into the category of, you know, possible possibilities to fill the frame. So for me, if that eventuality plays out, Kew Gardens, he's a very strong stayer. Might be too strong a stayer for the Derby test, but could easily, I could see him running into a, you know, a place.
Right, well, once he's got the tactics sorted then, so that's that, the main bit done. Kew Gardens, I think he lost a shoe last time as well at Lingfield, so perhaps that could be a little bit of an excuse. Tom, over to you now. Saxon Warrior, is he a good thing?
Probably. Would I back him at 8-11? Never in a month of Sundays. You know, there's just... Everyone presumes he's a certain stayer. He didn't win the Guineas like a stayer, to me. He won the Guineas like a speed horse. If he stays, he'll probably win, won't he? But going back a few years, I always do this, Maddie, and I probably shouldn't do it to you, but I'm going to do it again. El Gran Señor, Dancing Brave, you probably weren't even born when they won the Guineas and then went on to the Derby. They got beaten. They got beaten in the Derby by horses with more tactical prowess. I know there was excuses for Dancing Brave. There was probably a dodgy ride on El Gran Señor, but they still got beaten after winning the Guineas in a similar style to Saxon Warrior. I want to take him on. I think the one that is massively overpriced, and I still, for the life of me, cannot work out his price, is Massar. I think everything about him is a mile and a half horse. His stride, his breeding, his pedigree, the way he ran in the Guineas. If you watch the Guineas again, I've been watching those Racing UK Derby, whatever they're called, from years gone by. He reminds me of Generous and Nashwan. Now, he's probably not as good as either of them, but he looks like them, and he ran in the Guineas exactly the same way as those two did. If he's a mile and a half horse, he's only a length behind Saxon Warrior. He's better than Roaring Lion. He's he's 10 times the price of Saxon Warrior, and he's 10 points bigger than Roaring Lion. It just doesn't make sense to me. He's a better horse than Roaring Lion, in my opinion. He's 16-1. Everything about him points to him being a mile and a half horse, in my opinion, and I think it's a ridiculous price. There we go. How about that?
That was perfect.
And you all think it's a load of rubbish.
No, not at all.
Go on, Watsy, what do you think, Tom? Am I talking rubbish?
I would have one, and this is more, it's not talking, slating you for talking rubbish, but it's a point of discussion. So would you say you have slight concerns about Saxon Warrior's ability to stay?
Yes.
Would you not generally say that the winner, I know you have to look at the horse individually, but in general terms, the winner of the Racing Post Trophy over a mile or two, they generally stay quite well, and that is quite a good race to find decent potential ledger horses in? Would that be fair to say, or no?
Yeah, it's fair, but we're talking about an 8-11 shot in a Derby here that's only ever run over a mile.
But I know that, but I'm just on the point of stamina. I would just say I would think he's going to stay quite well.
Yeah, do you think of his pedigree, Tom? Because Deep Impact, he stayed about 2 miles. Do you put much emphasis on that, or?
Very much so. That's the thing I'm most interested in the whole of horse racing is pedigrees. On pedigree, he's more than likely to stay. But my point is that he's 8-11 and he's only run over a mile in his entire life. And he didn't win the Guineas. Now, it probably wasn't a great Guineas, but he didn't win the Guineas like a stayer to me. He was in front 2 furlongs out. He travelled like a dream. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, that's not how mile and a half horses win the Guineas normally. You know, Camelot won the worst Guineas in the world getting up on the line. Mm. Nashwan was just like, had to make the running and was all out to beat, you know, lesser horses. He won like a miler. That's my point. Now, he might not be a miler. It might have been a terrible race and it might have been just the circumstances that happened that made him look that good. But I've been watching Guineas for years and years and years, and very few horses who win it like he did, cruise into the lead and go on 2 furlongs out, tend to be mile and a half horses. Now, as I say, it might be that he's brilliant. It might be that the race was rubbish. But what I'm saying is that he's 8-11 and he's got to prove it. And I don't want to back him at that. And I think Massar's just as likely to stay on pedigree. In fact, I think he's more likely to stay on pedigree than Saxon, or on running style. Not on pedigree, on running style than Saxon Warrior is. And I cannot, he's a shorter price from in the Guineas. He won the Craven by 10 lengths. I just think he's a wrong price.
Okay. I want to ask you a bit more about this year's three-year-old crop, but we'll save that to later when we talk about the Curragh. Moving on now to the Friday and the Coronation Cup. Cracksman, I think, what price did you say he was, Tom?
Yeah, 1-3, 6-1 bar, 6-1 second favourite was Hawkbill. The market would suggest it's a bit of a penalty kick, and I tend to agree. It'd be interesting to see. I'm sure a betting without market will go up. Sadly, we're only two places at the moment, and it's going to be quite a small field. If Yucatan was to run, I thought he ran a grand race the last day and wasn't knocked around too much, he could be interesting, but the place terms aren't going to be great for betting around the favourites, so just see if that betting without market goes up. But yeah, looks like a fairly straightforward race for Cracksman.
Okay, well, see, if you agree and you think this is a penalty kick for Cracksman, where do you see the rest of the season panning out? Do you think he can get beaten at all, or do you think he'll go all the way to the arc and just win everything?
Yeah, he could well do, couldn't he? I mean, it's kind of an obvious next step for him, this race, but it's kind of... The Coronation Cup is always a bit of a disappointing race for me, because often you get these kind of favourites and they just go and win, and as a spectacle, it's not that great. So I think it's one of those races where you just sit back and marvel at a very good horse, as Cracksman is. Where he goes from here, I imagine, he could go anywhere between a mile and two and a mile and four, couldn't he? I don't think a mile and two is ruled out for him. As we saw at Ascot last season, he's very effective over that trip. So, yeah, all options open for him. Enables out the window now for the time being, so... There's a good pathway there for him to go on to, he's already great already, isn't he? So, to further his greatness. And, so Friday's race, not a brilliant betting heat. One just to watch, sit back, enjoy and see a class horse do his stuff.
Okay. Tom, how great do you think Cracksman is?
He's a superstar, isn't he? He's an absolute superstar. I just think he's really, really good. I mean, what's his right? I mean, this race is, I think, you go back through the history, I think, Heather's Moon won it a few years ago at a big price, but apart from that, every year it goes to the one you expect to win. He's literally got no competition here. I wouldn't have thought. Idaho's a pretty decent horse. I think the German horse might be a bit of value each way if eight turned up, because he did win the Group One. I think German form's always underrated, basically. We've had lots of German horses come. We had a couple of ARC winners and stuff like that. And he did win the
King
Group
George
One.
King George winners and stuff.
King George winners. He was eighth in the ARC as a three-year-old. He was only beaten... not far by, I think I'm thinking of the right horse. I can't remember. He beat a horse, basically, in Cologne a few weeks ago that ended up with, it was eighth in the ARC or something. So he's got form that puts him in the vicinity. He's not the bottom rated. Put it like this, if you're looking at Racing Post ratings, he's third or fourth in there. So that gives him an each. He might just be a bigger price, but look, it's all about Cracksman. He'll win.
Okay. Tom, again, I know we got your impressions first off, but anything to add to that?
Not particularly. I would just maybe caveat the whole thing with that he is at the moment 5-2 favourite for the ARC with us. I'm not sure what price he is elsewhere, but in typical anti-post fashion, he might shorten up a little bit for the ARC if he was to go on and win by a good few lengths. So if you really, really fancy him...
What about if Saxon Warrior goes and wins by 5? He might go out again in 24 hours later.
Maybe, but he probably will shorten up for the ARC and say 5-2 mightn't hang around too much longer if he does to win the Coronation Cup very easily.
Okay, superb. So we've covered the Derby and we've covered the Coronation Cup. We'll get on to the Oaks just after this.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. We're covering the Epsom Derby Festival and the Oaks is next on our agenda. Tom, I noticed Wild Illusion now. She's favourite with a lot of bookies. That's quite surprising, isn't it, ahead of Magical?
Yes, shortened up quite a bit. She's 7-2 favourite now. Magical 9-2. See a class 6-1. Magic 1, 7-1 alongside Forever Together. Bye Bye Baby 8 alongside Perfect Clarity. And that's 10-1 bar.
Now, Larty Dar was the go-to horse for a lot of people in this race, but now, of course, she's out. It's just thrown it absolutely wide open. Tom, can you see a lot of value there?
I was quite surprised at your intro there, Maddie. I can't believe Magical's so short. I thought Wild Illusion was the obvious favourite, in my opinion. She's the best form. She's got the best top speed figure, got the best racing post figure. And to me, she's got the best form, and she's certain to stay. So I think she's a miles more likely winner than Magical.
I don't fancy Magical for what it's worth either. I just thought Aidan O'Brien, you know, they usually just stick them in the favourites.
Yeah, we do that. But Bar Saxon Warrior, they've had a wipeout, haven't they? A wipeout in the classics this year. They've got, you know, we've had Bilston Brook, we've had Alpha Centauri, and we've had Romanized. Big shocks. Not very well bred. Well, Alpha Centauri is well bred, but, you know, small stables beating Aidan O'Brien hollow, basically. So
it's refreshing. I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, great, isn't it? Great. Impossible to find unless you're called Tom Nugent, but so it's great. So I'm not surprised that Wild Illusion is favourite. I think she's the right favourite. I thought her run in the Guineas was perfectly acceptable. We saw Lawrence come out and win yesterday in the at St. Allery. I don't think the O'Briens have a clue which one is their best filly. They've got eight, I think, in there, and they'll probably run all eight. And we have no idea which is the best one. I tell you, I'm very disappointed that Sir Michael Stout isn't running his filly. I know my friend Motti wrote something in the paper.
Which filly is that?
Sun Raider, was it called?
Sun Maiden,
the one that won at Salisbury.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely staggered she's not running. Motti wrote something about, you know, Michael Stout's looking after. I don't buy that at all. I mean, he ran Ulysses in the Derby, and he won two or three Group Ones afterwards in a similar preparation. I don't see the Derby being a make or break for a race for all horses. I think you can easily come in, run well in it, and come out of it. So I'm quite interested
Cracksman's
to see.
Cracksman's another evidence of that, isn't he? Of course.
Yeah, I mean, Cracksman would have won the Derby if he'd run in the Dante. Johnny Gosden trainer error there on my part, on his part, is my way of thinking. So I just don't think there's that, you know, waiting. What are you waiting for? It's the Oaks. So I'm disappointed she's not running. I'm hoping that William Haggis's filly runs, Sea of Class, because I think she's miles better than his other filly. And I think the O'Brien ones are all much and much. I don't think they have a clue which one's going to come out on top, which is why they're running eight. So for me, I think Wild Illusion's the right favourite. I think Sea of Class is very dangerous, and you just throw the balls up in the air about the Ballydoyle ones. I don't know, you know, any of them could win.
It's really interesting, actually, talking about William Haggis, because I spoke to him at Breakfast with the Stars, and he said, oh no, Sea of Class won't run, and Give and Take will run. Now, after the Musidora, he said Give and Take's going to run in the Pre-St. Allery. She won't stay the Oaks trip. She's not going to go. So now it's looking completely the opposite, and he's going to run both of them. Sea of Class, we're not sure yet, but he's definitely looking as if he's going to lean that way, which is very interesting. What's your opinion on the Oaks?
Well, you can understand Haggis rolling the dice, can't you? Because it, you know, with Lardy Dar out, it's a very open contest that we've just described. So if you've got anything of Oaks calibre, then you run it and hope for the best. I think Tom's exactly right with the Ballydoyle horses. Magical is a very similar horse to Happily, based on their two-year-old form. Happily couldn't get the job done yesterday in the Irish 1000. It was slightly disappointing. His 1-2 from Chester, Forever Together and Magic Wand. I mean, they were maidens going into the race. And not very distinguished maidens at that. And yeah, obviously Aidan's horses we know well can progress, and they do from run to run, but they don't set a standard you'd be massively scared of. I kind of warming to the idea of Wild Illusion winning the Guineas. And the only thing that puts me off, and I was going to mention this to Tom actually, you know, in relation to Massar, we had Soliloquy yesterday, who was well fancied. She won her trial earlier in the season, couldn't get the job done in Newmarket, couldn't get the job done in Ireland yesterday. Mm. We had Massar winning the Craven by 9 lengths, then couldn't get the job done in the Guineas. It's a long, long time since Godolphin, as an organisation, won a classic or been anywhere near in the...
Symbolisation, he was well backed as well. He couldn't do anything in the 2000.
Yeah, and, you know, I always start at the beginning of the year, think, you know, give Godolphin a clean slate, give him a chance. You know, they've had some good two-year-olds. Let's hope they come through and emerge and you know, really threaten the Ballydoyle kind of hegemony. I can't even say it. That's too posh a word for me. stranglehold. I'll use that.
Monopoly.
On the classics.
Whatever.
Monopoly, exactly.
Blimey, too posh a word for you, Watsy. I never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah, it's a tongue twister. And but for whatever reason, the horses just don't seem to do it. They seem to fall away when they're given the toughest test. And time and again, I've thought they might have a horse for this, they might have a horse for that, and it doesn't materialise. So their back record is putting me off Wild Illusion. I don't know why it should, because it's not the horse's fault. He's trained by Charlie Appleby and comes from Godolphin. But, you know, It is a factor. When was the last time they won a Classic or even got close? It's a long time ago now.
Charlie Appleby's doing a great job, but you're right. Where are the winners coming from in those sort of races? Tom, what do you have to say to that?
Not much, to be honest. I haven't had a bet in the race. If I was to pick one out at the moment, I thought Magic One's win in Chester was decent. Now, Sia Class obviously looks very, very good, but in terms of Aidan loves Chester as an Epsom kind of track, a good place to trial a horse that's going to Epsom. And I thought she did it well. I thought she'd improve. Obviously, she struggled to win a maiden before that. But if I had to have a bet at Black Magic One, wouldn't have a massive opinion just at the moment.
Okay. And Tom Siegel, any response to what Watsy said on Charlie Appleby, Godolphin?
He's spot on. They don't get the job done. But I think that's over-egged in the price these days. And I think Charlie Appleby might be a different type of cat. He's, you know, if you look over the last 8 months, I don't think anyone's had more Group 1 winners than him around the world.
He's done such a good job.
He's done an incredibly good job. I think it's possible that we are tarring the whole operation with the same brush, and I'm not sure Charlie Appleby fits into that just yet. Look, I do think there was a case where his horses came back from Dubai with a fitness edge over some of the others, and therefore maybe looked better than they were in their trials. That could be that could be aimed at Massar, could be aimed at Wild Illusion to a little bit. But nonetheless, she did win the Marcel Boussac. She did thrash Magical that day. She did run third in the Guineas. She does have a pedigree that says to me that she'll stay a mile and a half, and she does have the best form. So I think if she was trained by Aidan O'Brien, she'd be 5-2, not whatever. Was it 7-2 there, Tom, you said? I just think she'd be a shorter price. I like her. I think she's got a great chance. I have to mention my old friend Clive Cox horse, the Nathaniel filly. It'd be great. Nathaniel's
perfect clarity, yeah.
Yeah, Nathaniel won the race last year with Enable. That was his first season. Second season, he's going to have this perfect clarity. He's a tremendously good sire, he is, for staying horses. He got, you know, basically he got bred a whole load of, he was mated with a whole load of, you know, lower quality mares, and he's still got Enable, and he's still got perfect clarity. I think he's going to take off as a sire in next year, in the year on, when the standard's gone up. And I think it'd be something for him to sire the first to last two winners of the Oaks from his first two crops.
Yeah, definitely a sire to watch. I'm surprised, you know, I know we've got Frankel, but his fee is relatively low considering what they've both produced. Moving on now to the rest of Epsom over the 2 days, we've got the Dash, which is always a great spectacle, the Surrey Stakes, Diamond Stakes, Princess Elizabeth. If each of you could give me a name that you're particularly looking forward to seeing throughout the two-day meeting, that would be great. Nick Watts, I'll go to you first.
Well, Barocco's always an exciting watch around there, isn't he? Sometimes he gets the gaps, like last year when he won the City and Suburban there. Sometimes he doesn't. And he ran in the very same race last year. It was a handicap on Friday's card. He ran in it 12 months ago, finished fifth, didn't get the splits that day. But he's very effective at the track. I think that's a massive plus at Epsom because obviously it's quite a strange venue. We know who goes there. The style of race should suit him. It's just a question of whether he can poke his nose through when it matters most. So I'm going to take a risk on him.
Okay, interesting. Tom Nugent.
No major thing that I'm looking forward to. Two of my very good friends, Anthony Byrne and Owen Fives, are absolutely obsessed with the Epsom Dash. They always say if they could win one race as an owner, they want to win the Dash, which I find absolutely...
Who's that? What, the name of your friends?
Two of my friends, Anthony Byrne and Owen Fives.
Byrne and Owen Fines.
They
I have them
like
down
cool
as two the biggest lunatics I've ever come across.
But they want to win. If they want to win any races as owners, they want to win the Epsom Dash.
Dash.
And particularly enamoured with the old Duke of Firenze, the old Epsom Dash specialist. So just for them, I'll be happy to watch the Dash.
Good grief.
I've
written their names down. Anthony
Byrne and Owen Fives.
Anthony Byrne and Owen Fives. Is that how many brain cells he's got?
So, yeah. There
Tom,
you have
if
it.
You could win any race, which race could
certainly
you win?
Certainly not the Dash. Couldn't think of a more boring race since the world. Which race? I'd like to win the Derby. That's for sure. I was looking at, I like that Woodcut. Simon Crisford's horse in the Woodcut I liked. I can't remember the name of it. God, I'm rubbish. When's the Woodcut? On Friday. It's on Friday now, isn't it? They keep moving these races around and it's mucking me up. The Francesca Cumani from the magnificent ITV Racing. Call Exhibit. She bred Call Exhibit, who won at Nottingham for Simon Crisford the other day in tremendous style. I thought it was really impressive. Not sure Epsom will suit him, to be honest, but he's a horse I'm looking forward to. And my old friend from the Guineas, the Hannon horse that they thought was better than Bilsden Brook, Anna Nerium. I think she found the ground too fast on Guineas Day. I think she's coming back for the listed fillies race or the Group 3 fillies race on the Saturday. So those would be two for me. Call Exhibit and Anna Nerium.
Brilliant. Spot on. We'll cover the Irish classics after this short break.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Now, talking about the Irish 2000 Guineas, I don't think many people could have picked out the winner, but Tom, you managed to do it. What was your thinking behind backing Romanized?
Fluke, I'd say, more so than... But no, Tom and Nick will both know, like, good horses can lose their way a lot. Like, in a couple of runs, particularly on the flat, a couple of runs, they just don't show themselves to what they're able to do, and they just get completely overlooked in the market. Now, I'm not saying I backed him with absolute certainty at 25-1,
but
he was a good 2-year-old. Like, he was second to Massar at the Solario Stakes. It was
Derby
pretty,
winner Massar. There
pretty,
we go.
Pretty well reported that the Tetrarch Stakes, his first run this year, just they could make a lot of excuses for him, and the connections were just quietly confident about him coming into. He did a very good piece of work, supposedly, in the run-up to the Guineas, and they just fancied him. And I look at, you stick up ones each way at big prices, and occasionally they click. I was just lucky, I guess.
Oh, very, very humble. Whilst moving on, before we went live, I said, what do you make of this year's three-year-olds? Because the new market form wasn't really upholded here. Gustav Klimt, you ran all right. He finished third. El Arkham, very disappointing favourite, really. What did you make of the Irish 2000 Guineas?
I thought it was great from all angles. It's nice to see a different trainer, an unheralded trainer, do the job. I think that gives hope to everyone in the training ranks. And one of the things on here, you know, do you think it's a fluke? No, I don't think it was. I think it's tempting to say that because it's got Kay Condon next to his name and not an A. O'Brien or Jay Gosden. But yeah, I mean, Elakam disappointed, but I mean, let's give the horse the benefit of the doubt. He won it nicely. He beat US Navy Flag, who, of course, is a very good yardstick, very good 2-year-old, who, you know, there's no reason to suspect he didn't come back to form and run to his best. So, you know, I'm quite happy to give the benefit of the doubt to Romanized. It was a great result, great for racing when those kind of things happen. And I kind of like Tom's logic, really, because I think, you know, the ones at the front end of the market, they didn't set an exacting standard. I mean, Elakam, he ran well in the Guineas, but, you know, not one that you'd potentially go overboard about. Gustav Klimt, likewise, ran okay in the Guineas, but he's not one you'd say, oh, yeah, he's going to be following up.
They didn't really have many excuses, did they, in the Guineas? So, I mean, Gustav Klimt,
they seem to run their race. Obviously, this time, El Arkham didn't, and Mark Johnston said that since then. But even then, leading up to the race, it's the kind of thing, you know, you could have a go at one at a big price, and I couldn't see Romanized myself, but Tom found it, and good luck to him. Well done.
Well done indeed. Tom, who did you fancy in the Irish 2000 Guineas in the run-up to it?
Certainly not Romanized. I don't think I'd back him now at 25-1, let alone then. Now, I thought he had no chance. I still think he has no chance. I disagree with Watsy entirely there. I thought they set him up. I thought the Ballydoyle team tried to beat El Arkham. They thought he was the danger, and they, if you noticed, US Navy Flag from the start went left. He went away from Elakam. They went far too fast, and they set it up for the one horse. I'm just doing a piece for the Weekender now, and I was looking back over the Saturday's racing, and every race that I looked at was won by the horse that was held up last in every race. The one at Goodwood, the one at Haydock, two at Haydock, the one at York, and the Irish Guineas. And I just think we've got it in our heads as jockeys and trainers and pundits, and that you've got to do things in races to give yourself the best chance. And I just thought that while they were giving themselves the best chance, and let's not muck about, they did finish second, third and fourth, Ballydoyle did. So they did the right thing because they got El Arkham completely stuffed and Tommy Stack's horse, and the not bad moving Schwarzier horse. I can't remember its name now.
Zebra.
What a way
Zebra.
To describe it.
Zebra. They got him beat. They got them beat. No problem. They didn't realise that they had a good horse in behind them. Now, Romanised is clearly a good horse. But I think if you ran the race again, he might win. But I doubt it. I doubt it very much. I think they'd run the race totally differently. So I presume we're asking, where does he go from here? I presume he goes from Ascot. The point is, we got to make is, where are these good horses? So maybe he is the best horse. Maybe I'm being really harsh on him. And the other thing, we've got to talk about trial races, Maddie. You know, he was absolutely lapped in his trial. I know he was a bit unlucky, and I know he got stopped and whatever, and he was beat. But he was sixth of eight in a pretty moderate race, let's be honest. Lots of them in there. I haven't exactly. I know the one went and ran okay on Saturday, but it's quite a way off classic form. Bilsdon Brook, or whatever she's called, got lapped in the Nell Gwyn and went and won the 1,000 guineas. And Alpha Centauri finished eighth of 10 or whatever it was in her trial. So I think we've all got to remember that trial races are just that, you know. So it's pretty hard to find those horses if you're looking in terms of, do you see what I mean? In terms of looking for a really classy horse, you could never have described Romanised that only won one race in his life. Alpha Centauri was a possible, I suppose, because of her back two-year-old form. But Bilsdon Brook, so it's been really hard, those races. And I think more than anything, they were decided by tactics and race position as much as ability. So while I'm not decrying Romanised, which is a great result for the sport, it's always nice when horses like that win. I think I'd take the result with a massive, huge wad, it was skip full of salt.
Okay.
How about that? What do you reckon? Come on, Maddie, what about you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I said to Watsy before we went live, am I being a bit harsh? Because I think, barring perhaps Saxamoria, this year's three-year-olds could be a bit rubbish. And I was waiting
until somebody said that. I was literally about to just say, it always happens this time of year.
Maybe like, I'm being a bit, maybe I'm
every year somebody says, oh, the three-year-olds aren't great, I'd say, are they? And you just have to wait until they take on the older horses. Like, Tom, Nick, you know, literally every year somebody knocks the three-year-old crop. You have to wait and see, like.
Yeah,
the only thing I'd say, Tom, where I agree with you, is that being a pedigree man, couple of them, you know, you wouldn't if you'd have picked them out in the sales and said they were classic, you'd never find it. And I'm a big believer that racing is run by hierarchy, that pedigrees win out in the end. So therefore I'm just not convinced that I think I'm agreeing with Maddie, is what I'm saying, is that I'm not convinced the three-year-olds, bar a couple of them, are as good as they should be. Now that might, as you point out, be a total load of rubbish.
We've got to cover ourselves, Tom.
Yeah, we've got to cover ourselves. But my feeling is at the moment that I just think I don't think there's that many good old horses either, if I'm being honest. So, but there we go. The two-year-olds are great. Talk about the two-year-olds. Let's talk about Fairyland and her pals.
We're going to run out of time. Before we do, I'll give you time to mention them in a bit, but we have got to move on to the Irish 1,000 guineas. We've already touched on Alpha Centauri coming back to form. Again, it was great to see a different trainer win, Jess Carrington, although she's not quite as small as Ken Connon. She's still done a superb job. Happily was third. Not really any excuses for her. She looks like she wants to step up in trip. Now, what's he anything to take out of the 1,000 guineas quickly?
No, not really. Well done, Alpha Centauri. I thought Happily was disappointing. She didn't do much more than she did in the English guineas. You know, she just stayed on late. She probably wants to step up in trip. I had an each way fancy in the race. Kiara Luna was very disappointing for the Dermot Weld team. So, you know, it was a good win for Jessica. Well done. You know, fantastic. She's at the top of both codes, isn't she? So, good result for them. But not really any conclusions or anything exciting to say about that one.
Okay. Tom Nugent, is it a similar story?
I thought she was great. She looked an absolute picture in the ring in the Alpha Centauri. She's massive. She's an absolute beast of a filly. And she just needs that real quick ground. Like, you have to remember, this time last year,
she's a massive craftsman. She needs quick ground, isn't it?
Well, it seems that way. But do you remember, like, this time last year, she was nearly like the second coming of Christ before she went to Ascot. And then she just bombed out in her couple of runs. But no, very, very impressive. She's 6 from 33 for the Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot now. And I hope she goes and hope she wins. She's a lovely filly.
Okay, Tom.
Ah, look, she was very good, wasn't she? I mean, I wish I could believe, you know, stuff like the ground makes that much difference. But of course it does. I mean, she'd been lapped the last three times, or the last couple of times she'd run on soft ground. Clearly, the changing conditions were the key to her. only thing I'd say is that even on her Ascot form, I thought she had 10 pounds to find. But then, you know, maybe it wasn't a great race. Happily, as Watsy pointed out, didn't seem to do anything off the back of Ascot. Mm. Soliloquy, I think she probably needs softer ground. I don't think she ran too badly. She ran exactly the same as she did against Happily in the Guineas. But, you know, Aidan O'Brien's 33-1 shot in a tongue tie and a blinkers was sec. I don't know. I thought she did well to win because Curragh's a very good front runner's track. It's very hard to make up ground up the outside. She might be pretty good, to be fair to her. I'd love to see her at Ascot. I think, you know, who's she going to have to beat? She's going to have the Guineas winner, I suppose. But, you know, all the rest of them seem to have gone up in trip. Maybe Clemmy will bounce back, but she didn't actually show that much, did she?
Yeah, that was an interesting run from her. Moving on to weekend eye catchers, anything else we saw? We've already mentioned briefly, Lauren's won the Priest and Allery. She's a tough filly, isn't she? I mean, she might not have that much, don't want to be harsh here, but she might not have that, you know, X factor, but she's great to watch. She's a tough filly. Lots of other good performances, Fairyland, etc., etc. Tom, take it away first.
Me?
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry. Yeah, like Lauren's, I think she needs a mile and a half. Yeah, I think she should have been running in the English Oaks. Myself rather than the French Oaks, but she's obviously missing that. Maybe the Irish Oaks will be her race around the Curragh. Might need a bit of soft ground
for the
French Oaks, yeah. Isn't she? Yeah, I think she needs a mile and a half. The way she runs, I think that'll be her trip. Like her a lot. I was taken by Fairyland a lot. I think she's a shoo-in for the Albany if she runs in that. I thought she was really good back in England. Horse that ran in the Whitsun Cup at Sandown on Thursday, Kynran,
oh, yeah.
Is
oh,
it?
I
thought
gosh,
he was desperately unlucky not to win that. Oh, yeah. My God. If one day he's going to get a mile on soft ground and he's not going to be drawn in the car park or get hampered 25 times. But the problem is this is always going to be short now because I think we've missed the chance of backing him at 10-1 in any race from now on. But he's a really good horse. And then I just happened to be watching a race from Chester on Saturday. It's not normally my cup of tea watching Chester on a Saturday.
Is he stole
blimey.
Your horse?
Caradoc. Is that the one? No. Sorry, Watsy.
No, he was at Chester, but it wasn't that one. Thank God.
Caradoc won the first race, the novice stakes. I played in a charity golf day for Welchard, for Ed Chamberlain's golf day. And I played with David Simcock, and he told me to watch out for a horse of his called Come On Tear that was running at Chester on Saturday. He dropped in trip, didn't stay in the Sandown Derby trial, but he thought he had some ability. And Caradoc beat him hollow at Chester and then went round the track again. I've never seen a horse do that. I love watching the pull-up of races. I think that's one of the most crucial parts of a race that we miss in this country. If ever I'm at the races, I always stand, you know, 200 yards after the winning post because I love seeing the pull-up. I love seeing how much horses have left. Caradoc went round the track again. Pat Cosgrave couldn't pull him up and he went round the whole way of Chester again. I think he must have enormous amount of ability or he stays very well. He's by Camelot. He's very well bred horse, actually, considering he's by Camelot. He cost a lot of money. He cost 270,000 guineas as a yearling and he's related to group winners over a mile. But I think over a mile and a quarter, he could be a really interesting horse. I just thought the way he ran through the line at Chester was really exciting. So Caradoc for me.
Wicked. Which horse did Tom not steal off you?
Is a horse he won at Chester. Is a horse, a 2-year-old of Richard Fahey's called.
Hold on,
Vange.
I've got one. Vange. Can Vange. I have Vange?
No.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
You can't.
He looked really, really good. He was promising on his debut, and he was kind of backing that up on his second start. He won by about 4 or 5 lengths. I was just interested to note that last year the race was on my Headway, who then went on to Royal Ascot and finished very close second in the Coventry. Yep. The way he won there, I wouldn't be surprised if Vange followed a similar route and went to the Coventry. If he did, he'd have a good chance. He looked really, really impressive.
Okay. Hey, Maddie, Watsy, I saw that race too, and I was very impressed with it. What about can you remember Bill Gredley having a horse with Richard Fahey?
That's got to be a first, doesn't it?
I thought that was interesting that he was there. That tells me that there was something about that horse that they like a lot because it seemed a weird owner for the trainer sort of thing. Do you see what I mean? I like that sort of angle. I thought that was interesting.
Okay, Tom Nugent, finally.
I agree with Tom. Todd Fairyland was the performance of the weekend at the Curragh. She had the Marble Hill all sewn up quite a distance out. She's a very, very good filly, I'd say. And the one I liked, and I'm a big fan of the horse, he was second to Vizirabad in France in the Prix Vicomtesse Vigier, Marmelo. I absolutely love Marmelo, and I think there is a big race, if not big races, in him this season. Not sure what the targets are going forward, but stick him in the tracker, Marmelo.
Okay. We're going to get told off for taking too much time here, but how good is Vizirabad? I really hope he goes for that Ascot Gold Cup. Really do need to see him. He's fun to watch. Anyway, Royal Ascot is fast approaching. Give us a horse you've already backed and one you'll definitely be backing. What's he? Would that be a Chester Eyecatcher?
Yeah, Vange would be one that I would definitely back if I knew for sure he was going for the Coventry. I think the Gold Cup's going to be a good race this year. I'm going to stick with my old pal Order of St George to you. I think all these other horses winning well just holds his price up, and he's unlucky not to be going for a hat-trick in the race, and I take him over the likes of Magic Circle every day of the week. He did, of course, win last week, Order of St George, but he was tens on, it was a non-event. But
goes under the radar a little bit.
I think he's a very, very good horse, and you know, he's win at Ascot at the back end of last season. He's got guts as well, and I don't think he was probably Ryan Moore's best ever ride when he got beaten by Big Orange last season.
Okay, Tom Siegel.
Absolutely certainly wasn't Ryan Moore's best ever ride and the thing. My two would be Sioux Nation in the Commonwealth Cup. That's the one I have backed. Mm-hmm. I think Scat Daddy at Ascot, I think he's 4 from 8. I think they just absolutely relish the track. I think he'll go very well. Should mention John Gosden's two-year-old that ran one at Yarmouth. He's by Scat Daddy. Maddie, you'll remember the name on Tuesday.
Will I? I don't think I will.
It was absolutely brilliant. I think he'll have a big shot against Vange in the
Coventry.
And the one I like, I'm just a sucker for these handicaps, John Gosden's horse. I don't know if he'll run in the Hunt Cup Pouvoir Magique or whatever he was called.
Yeah.
The one at Newbury the other day. Yeah. I don't know if he'll get in, but I thought he was just an interesting horse for Ascot. He pulled him out of that Victoria Cup for spurious reasons the week before, but he came out and beat Rip Off, the winner of the Victoria Cup, with his head in his chest, and I think a race like the Hunt Cup is well within his capabilities.
Love that horse. I'm surprised you've not mentioned Clive Cox's filly going for the Queen Mary, because that form is working out really well.
You remember it now?
Yeah.
What was it called?
Something Colours or something.
I'm getting so old. I can't remember my kid's name, let alone
this
horses'
is
names.
I'll remember in about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Tom Nugent.
Backed Equilateral for the Commonwealth Cup. Very impressive in Doncaster the other day. Each way now at 12-1.
Yeah.
I do think Sioux Nation's a very, very good horse. And the other one, I just think Fairyland will win wherever she goes. Most likely to go for the Albany, but Aidan did say in the media huddle afterwards that she has options and the Queen Mary was still a possibility, but it looks more likely for the Albany. But I just think she's a very, very good filly, and I think she'll win wherever she goes.
Okay, be very interesting to see where she goes. That will do for us now. You can absolutely guarantee the minute I walk out that door, I'll remember the name of this Clive Cox filly and I'll be absolutely killing myself. Anyway, goodbye. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to us on iTunes, and we'll be back soon.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.